Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
I can't answer that, but that's all that I'm... Go ahead.
Is that going to be the focus? What else is there? What the hell would you be doing this for if you wanted to win? We're trying to win. We're trying to win today. Who's going to get the better lunch? let's not make any misunderstandings about why we're here. This is all nice and dandy, but winning is what this thing is all about.
And with that, the tone is set for the Jaguars moving forward. Welcome into Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, the final network program of the 2016 season heading into the offseason. What a day it was around Everbank Field. Tom Coughlin is back. Doug Marrone is the head coach. Dave Caldwell has a two-year extension. We heard from Shad Khan today. We'll hear from all these guys coming up tonight. What's up, guys? How we doing?
You got me now? How about now? You got me?
There you go.
Heck of a job, Joe.
It was an interesting press conference, and I still think that there is a lot of stuff to even hear even further. And I think a lot just as far as the dynamics of how things are going to play out.
I think it was pretty clear. Tom's in charge of everything.
No, I know that. But, I mean, there's still – I mean, the one thing about Tom Coughlin that I think everybody that has had any experience with him knows is that he believes in defined roles. And I still think that even though, you know, we know that he's over everything, how those roles will play out are still going to be felt out, determined, and everything else, because he is going to determine what all those roles are.
But we might never know that conversation.
No, we probably won't.
But I agree with you.
But I still think there's a lot of unknowns that, look, Tom Coughlin is not going to walk in the door and say, okay, here's what we're going to do. He's going to take everything in and gather as much information as possible. And then after that point, then he's going to start making informed decisions. And when those decisions happen, some of them we will know about, some of them we will not know about. But it's going to be interesting, and I can guarantee one thing. People are on their toes, and as they should be, because Tom is demanding, and he expects your best. And if you can't give that, he's going to find somebody else to do it. Pretty simple.
And that's all up and down the football side. That's from personnel side to coaching to everybody, right?
I mean, that's exactly
right. You too, JP.
Yeah, radio staff.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
I already talked to him about you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I said, watch out. Be careful.
Thanks a lot, Tony. I appreciate the endorsement.
Yeah, no problem. It was a great press conference. I thought it was outstanding. I heard nothing from Tom Coughlin that I did not expect.
I was having some flashbacks.
I was too. I mean, it's like they could have. He could. I mean, I'm pretty sure I could have got up there and answered the questions, and they would have been pretty close to exactly what he said. And so it was, in one sense, it was fun to sit back there and listen and take it in, because spending 7 years here with them, and playing for him and being in that team meeting every day for those 7 years, you get to know somebody, their personality, kind of what makes them tick, and you know what they're going to say in certain situations and how they're going to react. And nothing surprised me at all about that press conference from Tom Coughlin. And I think it's going to be good. It's going to be, to Jeff's point, an interesting transition. Change is always – I think change is good a lot of times. I think it helps – it keeps people on their toes. It challenges people. It presses people to improve themselves. It, you know, and all those things are really good. But also, change can be difficult at times, and there'll be some challenges. Most likely, none of us will ever hear about them, but they'll be dealt behind. And I'm not saying bad things. It just change brings some challenges, and I think it'll be good. It'll be fun to see how this thing shakes out.
And that challenge falls on Tom too now.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a new role for him.
This is new, you know. And there's a lot of people that I would probably have some concerns with in that role of being new. But with Tom Coughlin, you know, the one thing I've always appreciated about him as a coach is that there was never anything that we felt that we were unprepared for. And I, at the same token, I don't think there was any ever anything that happened for the most part with him as a coach that he was unprepared for. He is an absolute workaholic, and he will give this organization, this fan base, in this city, everything that he has to offer. And I think that's the most important thing, you know, because when you step in a role that you have no really familiarity with, because this is new for him, for the most part, you know, because when he walked in the door back in 1994, it was what the title wasn't there, you know, the vice president of football operations, he didn't have that title. But he might have had that title. I mean, that's what he was.
He was the guy.
Back in 1994 and 1995. But when you walk in, when he walked in 1994, he designed it the way he wanted it. Whereas he's walking into where there is already something in place, and he's going to go ahead and figure out, okay, what works and what doesn't work. And so it's a little different role for him, and it's something that he hasn't done in a very long time. And it's also a role that he has to be able to let others do their job at the same time. So, I mean, that's the different part of it for him. You know, because in 94, when he took over 95, when we started playing, you know, he was the coach and he was everything. And in this role, he is the boss, but at the same token, he's not the coach anymore. You know, so these are all things that, you know, that he has to get accustomed to, and I have full confidence that he will be able to fulfill that role in a high capacity.
I got a lot of questions about that afterwards from media on air and then also just kind of off to the side. And the question was, will he be able to not coach? Will he be able to not
delegate?
No, will he be able to not actually get in there and tinker and, you know, and
X's and O's and
get
all
involved
that stuff.
In,
right.
With Doug.
Or
and
in other
that.
Words, will he be able to delegate?
Right, either way. And my first response was, I think Tom has so much respect for the position of the head coach and what that job entails, because that's what he's been, mm-hmm. that I think he'll be a great executive vice president of football operations, and I don't think that will be an issue where he's going to overstep any boundaries where makes it difficult for the coaching staff. I just don't think that.
Oh, I'm sure there will be times that he will.
No, he'll make it uncomfortable because that's what he does to everybody because he's so demanding. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's going to try to become coach. Now, he is always going to be Coach Coughlin to a lot of us, and he's a coach at heart. So you're not going to take that out of him.
And he'll have opinions and,
yeah, he'll have
and
opinions,
voice those, I'm
but,
sure.
But he won't do it in a way that will compromise the position of Doug Marrone. I don't believe that because he respects that position too much and what that means to be a head coach. Now, behind closed doors, who knows? It's all bets are off. And anyone who's ever been in a closed-door meeting with him understands that. I mean, we've all been called down there and had those one-on-one meetings, and they're tough conversations at times, and that's okay. Being uncomfortable is good, I think. Uncomfortable challenges you and pushes you, and you might not like it, but it helps you get better. But I really think – I think he'll do a really good job in this role. I think it's the right time in his life for this role. I think it's probably the perfect situation that if you had asked him how he wanted to end his career in the NFL, I think this would be it.
Well, who's talking about the end? He's not talking about the end.
No, when I say the back, well, he's on the back half.
He would never talk about it.
So he's
being
not on
the
back nine of his career.
Well, don't say that to him.
It's not disrespectful. I'm just saying that's reality.
I don't know.
Tony Vasselli said.
Might be a little disrespectful,
Tom,
there.
Okay, so he's been. I'll just say he's been coaching in the NFL for. He's 70, he'll be 71, probably about 30 years. No, 40 years, excuse me.
Yeah, he's been in
40 years.
Long time.
And so if it's not the back half, that means he has another 40 years, which would make him 111.
if there's anybody that could do it, it would probably be him.
I was about to say, you're about to get one of those closed-door meetings again.
I'm
there,
fine with it. I'm ready for it. Yeah. But my point of saying that is, I think it's the perfect time. I think he'll do a great job of it. I don't think – is there a learning curve? Sure. But I don't think it's going to be – I don't think it's going to be a big learning curve. I think he'll do a great job, and I think it'll take time. I think this thing is going to need to evolve. To Jeff's point, he is a guy who's diligent to make sure he has all information before he makes too many decisions.
And that's going to take some time to get the information.
And he's going
to
gather that up, and so you might see changes that happen 3 or 4 weeks from now, that because of information gathered. I don't know. Maybe nothing changes, which I know that's not the case.
Yeah. Right. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall during the long meeting between Coughlin and Shad Khan.
We have two.
That would have been incredible.
Two individuals who've had a lot of success in their areas, who are a lot of wisdom because of what they've been through and they've seen, and have strong opinions.
And a desire to win at what they do.
To be successful, to win, and also strong opinions is how you do that.
That's right.
So it would have been a great conversation because you have two guys. I think it's fun talking to anyone who's had success and how they do it, and no matter what the industry is or the area is, it's fun because you can learn something. And I guarantee you, if you could have been a fly on the wall, you'd have learned something.
No doubt. We'll come back and discuss how Dave Caldwell fits in the mix now. Doug Marrone as well. What a day it was here at Everbank Field. We're with you for the next hour. Final hour on the network for the year. It's Jaguars Thursday on the Jaguars Radio Network.
You know, we've got the three key people here leading the football operation. And most decisions, I think, you know, come to a natural conclusion what the right thing is. But if circumstance it wasn't, then obviously Tom heads the football operation. So he would be making the finals.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan earlier today at Everbank Field, the announcement. Tom Coughlin, Executive VP of Football Operations. Doug Marrone, the head coach. Dave Caldwell gets a two-year extension. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Dave Caldwell's role might change a little bit, it seems like, right? Obviously, with Shad Khan saying there, if it comes down to a tie, Tom Coughlin's the top guy, would have the final say. It will still be a team environment, according to Tom, but what do you make of Dave Caldwell's role moving forward here?
Well, in the very essence, in the past, Dave has reported directly to Shad. Well, now Tom is the boss. And Dave will be reporting to Tom, and Doug will be reporting to Tom, and then Tom will obviously be reporting to Shad. So that's a major change right there on the surface. Dave has had all final say of everything on the football side of the ledger, you know, from operations to roster to, I mean, every aspect of it, and now that's going to be Tom's job. And not that Tom and Dave won't have long conversations, and it'll be collaborative, just like Shad talked about, but somebody always has to be in charge at the end of the day. And you can be very collaborative and teamwork and community and try to solve problems and figure out where you want to go. But in my experience, sooner or later, you have a circumstance where not everyone agrees. And somebody has to make that decision, and that'll be Tom. And that's a change.
I think it's pretty clear that, you know, when Shad talked about the hiring process today, that Dave wasn't really involved in the decision to hire Tom Coughlin. I don't know that for a fact, but, I mean,
that was the impression I got.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you would take away from that. So Dave has been basically shown that, you know, Tom, you now report directly to Tom Coughlin. So that role for Dave will change. There's no question about that. And I think that exactly how that role will be determined. You know, after Tom gathers the information on what has, you know, things have been going on here for the last, you know, 4 years. And at that point, I'm sure that, and through these, through that discovery process, I'm sure that he will talk with Dave Caldwell and learn more through Dave himself, as well as talking to other people. And at that point, then Tom, like I said before, Tom will have very clearly defined roles for people, and he will have a clearly defined role for Dave Caldwell. And, yes, at the end of the day, somebody has to have the final say. That's just the way it has to be.
The buck's got to stop somewhere.
You know, because, you know, Tony's right. I mean, look, people know this very well. Me and Tony don't always agree. I mean, for the most part, you know, we come away from watching the same game with similar opinions, but then we have very different opinions on certain guys. It's just the way it is, you know. And so you have three opinions that are going to be in the room when it comes to decision-making, final roster and everything else. And look, Tom, somebody has to have that. And if I want to figure out who should have that, I want, you know, the one who has the greatest experience at it. And Tom Coughlin has great experience. And I think that Shad Khan made a great point when he talked about Dave and Dave's extension today. And he said, look, he felt that Dave was a promising young executive that could learn a lot from Tom Coughlin. and he can. You know, I learned a lot from Tom Coughlin as a player, you know, and I hope
you
that.
You bolo ties are not ties. That's one thing you learned.
Well, and I think that Tom.
That's one thing you learned. Let's be honest. You learned that.
He learned from me that a bolo is considered a tie in some circles.
Not in his circle, and that's the only circle that matters around here.
Right, yeah. Well, he understood that because the next year he changed the rule book to read cloth ties instead of ties were mandatory on the road trip.
I got to see a photo of you in a bolo tie. Yeah, we haven't seen a photo of this. There's got to be one out there.
Bolo ties are classy, and my great-grandfather wore them all the time. So if my great-grandfather could wear them all the time, then certainly it was not a finable offense. But, I mean, it's like I said at the beginning, there's a lot of roles that are – that, and there are a lot of people in this building that I guarantee are sitting, you know, in their chair and at their
desk. I just recommend they don't wear bolo ties.
In their office that are going, you know, what are things going to be like? Well, you just hold on. But I will say this, and I said this to a couple staff members. You will greatly appreciate the impact that Tom Coughlin will have in a lot of different ways. One is that he paints a very clear picture of what he wants. And there will be no, you know, okay, you're doing this, and we also want you to do this. No, he's going to say, this is your job, and do it the best of your ability. And I think that's the thing that I think I appreciate most. And that will also trickle down to the players. And that he will have very clearly defined expectations for the players. And the presence of Tom Coughlin will keep certain problems from happening because the expectations from Tom Coughlin will filter down through the entire organization. Make no mistake.
Such as problems? Such as?
Well, if you got a player who, you know, is late for a meeting or, you know, doesn't show up for, you know, certain things that are required of him, there's consequences. You know, plain and simple. And it's, you know, and I'm not saying how it was dealt with here in the past because I don't know specifically how things were dealt with in the past. I'm just telling you how Tom Coughlin deals with things. You are accountable under Tom Coughlin, period. And there is no other way. And in New York, when he had Jerry Reese as the general manager, I think it's hard sometimes to be that. But when you are the boss and the buck stops with you, you will hold people accountable, and that's the nature of the way he is, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and I agree with everything. I just want to – I think sometimes, you know, and you see it from the fan base. Oh, and I've read it. Oh, I can't wait till the players get a hold of – he gets a hold of the players. Like, somehow this is a unruly – and I just don't buy that. That's not my experience here, and I think there was accountability. A different style. And a lot of and one thing I think we got to all realize, and I think Tom said it, this is a group effort. Just bringing Tom Coughlin in, it doesn't fix everything. All of a sudden, it's like, we're going to the Super Bowl. No, it's part of the process. And it's part of building the right team. And Shad talked about that, of building the best possible team to have success. And he's going to be the leader of that, and he'll do a great job. But you look around the NFL, there's a lot of different ways teams win games and do different things. What Jeff and I have been familiar with in our playing days are how Tom did it, so we're very familiar with it. And one of the things he believes in is making sure everyone always is on edge. And there is a awareness that don't get too comfortable, not in a bad way, just that's kind of the atmosphere that will be created at times.
I think a lot of times he has people on edge because he wants people to make sure that they are people of conviction, that what they are doing is right and right for the organization, for the team.
Speaking of different styles, let's discuss Doug Marrone when we come back. New Jaguars head coach was on the podium today here at Everbank Field. And this is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
I don't look behind, I just look for the day. I try to go out and win each day, whether it's being a good dad and husband or being a good football coach. So, you know, I take things on a moment-to-moment, day-to-day basis. I don't try to look too far ahead, because if you don't win the moment or win where you are that day, the future is not going to come.
Head coach Doug Marrone earlier today. You can check out the full archive of today's press conference, the pre- and post-game shows, if you will, on Jaguars.com with Jaguars.com Live. Check it out. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Boselli. Jaguars Thursday continues on Jaguars Radio, Jaguars.com, and the Jaguars app.
All right, so I would disagree with Doug Marone on that one comment.
Why is that?
If you don't win the moment, the future doesn't come.
Well, the future's coming no matter what, right?
The future's coming.
Maybe not be the future you want, though.
Exactly.
That's what he meant to say. You know, that's kind of what you expect from Doug Marone. No nonsense, straightforward, black and white, no gray area with him.
No, and look, I think the thing that I like about Doug Marone, and I said this last week at some point somewhere, I don't remember where, I talked to a bunch of different people, but I said what I like about Doug Marone is he's got some edge. You know, he's got a little bit of that Bronx in him, and he's not afraid to speak his mind. And I think, you know, look, I've always been a big fan of players that have edge. And I think players that have or coaches that have edge are just as good. I mean, Tony worked with an offensive line coach and Mike Mazur that he was like on the edge all the time.
Him and I never had any problems.
Really?
Never.
Oh.
But, I mean, the coaches that have edge, you know, that are edgy, I think have a tendency to get more. And look, I like that, you know. And, you know, time will show, you know, whether that's going to be successful or not. And so that's the ultimate test.
I agree with Jeff on that. I had three really good offensive line coaches from the time I got to college. Mm-hmm. And I had a great high school coach, too. And he was tough. But John Matsko, who's now the line coach in Carolina, was like the meanest, toughest, just on you. I mean, it was.
He had edge.
Oh, edge. Razor sharp. He'd cut you. And then Mike Barry, last 2 years at SC, I mean, he was tough on me. I mean, he just pushed and pushed and never good enough and expected more. And then you talk about Mike Mazur. And that's just kind of how, I mean, I like that. I think it's good. It's not always fun or comfortable, but I think it's good. And I think, again, there's different ways of doing it. I think the important thing, I think we're coaches, and this is what I was trying to say about Coach Coughlin earlier, and it's the same for Doug. I think good coaches are authentic, and they coach based on who they are. And that's what they communicate. And because then they're consistent. I think one of the most important things of being a good coach is being consistent, because one thing players struggle with is when they're not sure what to expect, and it's up and down, it's over here, it's over. And
we've seen that.
And I expect that's what we'll see from Doug. And style, again, you know, obviously it's different from his style will be different from Gus's. And Gus was consistent in his style. That's who he was.
He's and one of the most consistent people I've ever met.
I mean, and that's good. It didn't, obviously, wins and losses didn't come the way it needed to, but that's, as a player, that's what you want. And I think Doug will be the same way. His personality is completely different. That's how Tom is. Tom is the most consistent. I mean, and people ask me, was it hard? You know, he had all these rules. And what, I got asked today, what was the worst rule Tom Coughlin had? And I never liked the White Sox rule.
What is that? What?
You can't wear White Sox on the road. I don't know if it's still a rule in his life.
No, you had to wear socks, too.
Yeah, you had to wear socks. You can't wear white socks.
Well, it's not. White socks aren't dress socks.
And you can't wear tennis shoes.
Yeah.
It was a business trip.
Which
right?
I caught him doing one time.
Yeah. Sure.
Did you find him?
And so
I asked him if he was going to find himself.
Okay. And I never understood the White Sox thing. I didn't care. I followed the rules because I didn't want to lose my money. But all joking aside, I told him, I said, but you know what? Whether I agreed or disagreed with all the rules Tom had, or any coach you have, it's not important to me. Players are like kids. I always say professional athletes are overgrown adolescent teenage boys. You need discipline. You need structure. And just tell me where to go and what time to be there. And that was one thing with Tom, and Jeff will tell you. Did you ever wake up one day when you played for this organization when Tom was a coach, unsure of where you had to be, what time you were supposed to be there, what you were supposed to wear, and what he was going to be like that day?
No, never. it took a little bit of an adjustment period.
Yeah, but you knew.
but once you kind of got through that adjustment period, you knew exactly what you were expected to
do. And I think Doug will be like that. Different style. Everyone has their own style. Just be authentic and be consistent. I think that is really important in a coach.
You guys were talking about the edge and the offensive line coaches of your past. Tom Coughlin talked about that today on the postgame on Jaguars.com of Marone's history as an O-line coach, more notably about the X's and O's of playing that position at the NFL level.
You know, I think one of the things that people don't quite understand when you talk about Doug Marone is you have to look at the background of people, and you have to look at, for example, the position that they played and coached. And when you get a guy who's been an offensive line coach, you know, you sort of get the idea about the fundamentals of the game of football and the way it was originally designed to be played. And those are, you know, those are extremely important values, because they lend themselves to the physical nature of the game, which you really can never get away from. And when you're talking about that, hopefully you'd also bring in that balance that's so necessary between run and pass.
I can listen to that all day, by the way. Hearing Tom Coughlin talking about the reason behind, you agree with that? The physical nature of the game, offensive line coach, and all that?
CP, you know I do.
I know you do. Awesome. It was an easy one for you.
I am of the mindset I'm not going to be an idiot and say the quarterback's not the most important position in the game of football. But to me, the way you win, I mean, you got to have a good quarterback play. But outside of that, you win on the line of scrimmage. And the attitude and the toughness of your football team, especially your offense, come from five guys, and that's it. Those five guys determine the toughness and the physicality of your team and who you are, especially for the offense.
Spoken like an offensive lineman.
Because if you can't run the ball and can't protect, you can't play.
There's 48 other guys on that team field, too.
Because, you know, I remember some of the teams of the Philadelphia Eagles back when, you know, for Joe's, you know, purpose.
And how many
here,
games did they win?
You know, Reggie White, Jerome Brown, Clyde
great.
Simmons.
They're great players.
Last time I checked, they were the ones who set the tempo for that team.
And how many games did they win? How well did they do in the playoffs?
Good.
No, never in the playoffs.
They're pretty good.
Never in the they went. How many Super Bowls did they go to?
He's going to upset.
How many
Joe Fortunato.
Hang on. You said playoffs, not Super Bowl.
I said well in the playoffs. How many NFC championships did they go to? That'd be zero.
Not many.
No, not many is zero.
They won a division many times.
It's zero, Joe.
Okay, well, let's you know, if you want to compare that to offensive line, let's look at the Cincinnati Bengals' great offensive line.
They went to the Super Bowl.
One. Did they win?
One more than the
we can go back and
it
forth
all day on
this all day long, Vaselli.
And I will concede just slightly in this one area. I did say the line of scrimmage, because I do believe
Both ways.
I think you win in this league with big people.
Yep. New York Giants did it with defensive line.
Yeah, exactly right. But I think you win.
Big,
but they also
strong
men. They were number two rushing in that league, rushing team in the league. Mm-hmm. You win with and Jeff's right. I mean, I'm obviously biased to the offensive line, but the group.
No. Come on.
But who sets the tone? I just think it's the big guys. That's where the toughness is brought. That's where the attitude and the physicality. And for the offense, if you can't run and you can't protect, you can't do anything. You can't play the game. Go ask the 18-0. New England Patriots, when they went and played the New York Giants.
The Giants, yeah.
They had the best offense ever, right? Scored more points. Randy Moss, all these guys. And they couldn't block four guys. That's what it came down to. Couldn't block four guys.
True. Tom Brady didn't get rid of the ball in time. That's all.
Got him.
Tom Brady. Or an offensive guy not to agree with that, you know it was bad. I mean, it was a jailbreak.
Let's come back and discuss this coaching.
But yes, offensive line is most important.
There you go. Coaching interview process. How did it go? It was very thorough, it sounds like. This is Jaguars Thursday on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Jeff Logman. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. Final network show of this 2016 season, we'll call this still.
Yeah, but we're still doing shows, so those that are in the networks can always tune in.
Jaguars.com.
Jaguars.com.
Yeah, it's a free website.
Listen Live or the Jaguars app.
Yes. That's correct. All of that is correct.
That's right.
And if you're in the Jacksonville market, we're still on 1010XL. We'll move to 6 o'clock for 1 hour starting next week here in Jacksonville.
Are we going to be on Facebook? to the
I don't know.
Facebook
don't
Live?
Know. Maybe.
Yeah, something like
we'll
that.
See.
I don't know.
See
Hollywood will be producing it all.
It's kind of up in the air.
He's director.
See what Hollywood says about that moving forward here. So the Tom Coughlin thing happened pretty early, it sounds like. And Shad Khan told us today in the postgame, if you will, that he offered up a couple of head coaching candidates. Marone was one of those. And they went through the process, interviewed a bunch of guys after that, had a firm help them with names to kind of vet out some names there. And at the end, it all came back to Marone. But the process sounded like it was very, very thorough, this whole interview process. I would expect no less.
Well, look, I mean, a lot of people question, you know, why use an outside firm when you end up hiring the guy that was right in front of you? And I respect that because, you know what, you know, that's the easy decision, I think, for most people. And so you want to go through the process to make sure that you're not just doing something that's easy and comfortable, that you're making the right choice. And so I think having the outside firm to get a second opinion or another opinion is always wise. And I thought that was very smart. And I also thought it was interesting that after they kind of came to, you know, the end there, that they asked Tom Coughlin for his input, and his firm said two names, and one of those was Doug Marone. So that's good. I mean, because
look, you think the other one was?
Everybody's dying.
I
want to
know.
A lot of people would like to
know. We'll never know, but it
doesn't matter.
There's a report out there today. I got to find it though.
And I think it's that's good because obviously Tom, when you're coming in the door, you don't want to have a guy that's reporting to you that you don't want, and vice versa. I mean, when, Shad talked today about how that, Doug Marone was told of what the structure would be and would he be okay with it, and Doug was, excited about it. He was excited
about
it.
Well, he respects Tom.
Sure. Who doesn't?
I don't know, but I know.
People that haven't met him, some people might.
I'm sure there's someone in the world. We all do, and I think it would. But to your point, it's important that the head coach does respect the guy's reporting to, and there you can tell Syracuse connection. There's history there, and there's mutual respect, and that's important.
We'll talk a little more about that Syracuse connection when we return. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli. Jaguars Thursday continues on a busy day at Everbank Field. Tom Coughlin introduced, well, presented, I guess.
People mostly know who he is.
Yeah, you might have heard of him. And Doug Marone is the head coach. You know, there's the Syracuse connection there. It was interesting hearing those guys talk about when they first heard of each other. And Tom Coughlin said that he was aware of Marone as a player back in the days, and then when he first got into coaching back in New Orleans and all that, and kind of moving his way up to Syracuse, and they talked a little more then since they're both alums there. But Doug Marone said that when he tried to get his first coaching job, he was down in Florida, and BC was at a bowl game in Florida. Tracked down his hotel, couldn't find Tom Coughlin's number, so tracked the hotel where they were, found out a room number somehow, called the room at like 10 o'clock at night.
Which is way past Tom's bed.
Right. And the conversation didn't go quite what Doug Marone expected. He didn't get the job. He wanted a grand assistant job or something. But now 24 years later, he's working for him, which is pretty funny.
That's a pretty unique story. And Tom Coughlin, in that moment, I can imagine he was pretty gruff. When all of a sudden somebody's calling his room, he has no idea who it is at 10 o'clock
There's
at
something wrong going on.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that wasn't a long conversation, as Doug Marone pointed out. But, it's good, though. I mean, I'm excited for Doug Marone. I'm happy for him. And, it's a great opportunity for him. And it's kind of a unique opportunity because, when you look at all the other openings in the league, there's a lot of people that thought that there were other openings that were viewed as being better. Me and Tony agree that, if you're going to consider one job better, the Denver job, I think, is the only one that would be considered better. And people were saying that the California teams were very attractive jobs. Well, look at them.
Chargers are going to be playing in front of 27 every week.
I mean,
so up, Bub?
And how anybody could think that this job here in Jacksonville was not attractive? I don't understand how they would think that or even say that.
Even more attractive now with Tom there, right?
Well, I mean, if, look,
does
I mean,
that add
that,
to it?
That's part. Yeah, I think that adds to it.
Yeah.
You know, the opportunity. You know, because here's the thing, and with a lot of teams, and I brought this up before, that this team has great ownership. And people have been, well, what do you mean it has great ownership? Well, it has the full support financially of the owner and anything else that they may need. And there are owners in the National Football League that don't provide that. And there are also owners in the National Football League that think they know football and they don't. And Shad Khan, I think, by this step of hiring Tom Coughlin, that he is saying to fans, look, I want us to do what's best for our football team to win. And by hiring somebody like Tom Coughlin, that allows him to have somebody in place that reports directly to him that can help decipher exactly what is and is not happening with his organization. And that's what you want. You don't want an owner. You know, look, and I'm not trying to be critical, but there are certain teams. And look, I'll point one out. Washington Redskins.
I don't want to be critical, but.
But let me tell you about Daniel Snyder.
And I know that Daniel Snyder is a highly successful you know, man, is highly respected in many circles in the league, but the perception of him from a coaching standpoint is not good. A lot of decisions are made in that organization when he just says, do this, and it's without the support of staff, coaches, general managers, et cetera. And that's what I mean by, look, this organization has good ownership, excellent ownership. And it's a great place to live, an attractive place to live, as viewed by many of the coaches that stay here after their career and players that stay here after their career.
Let's come back. A little bit more left on Jaguars Thursday on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli.
Yes, sir.
Jeff Lagerman. Jaguars Thursday
continues.
It is Thursday. This is the Jaguars.
So they kind of go together.
I always wonder why we call it Jaguars Thursday.
Put it together.
Same reason we call it Jaguars Monday.
Monday. It's a Jaguars.
We're really creative around here.
By the way, I saw a Jaguars Monday guy.
Yeah, Pete was here.
At the press conference
I saw him
today.
Didn't get to talk to him today. So,
what did I miss much?
What did I miss in the grand scheme of things?
Kidding, no, I love Petey.
Yeah, good to see everybody here today. It was packed house upstairs today at the U.S. Assured Club, and rightly so. It's really one of the biggest days this franchise has seen in a long time on the football side. When you bring back the guy who built it, it's very, very rare when you see that. It doesn't happen much.
Well, no. Jeff and I would argue that he and I built it. Tom was just part of it.
No.
Humble too, folks. Tony Buscelli.
No, it was great. I thought it was cool because it was a homecoming. I mean, having and maybe more so for all of us. I'm not taking away from someone like you, JP, who wasn't here when he was here. Mm-hmm. But at least for me, I'll speak for myself. It brought back a lot of good memories, and it was fun sitting out watching this take place. Only because how much Tom meant to this place and how much, you know, it wasn't all good, but how much success we had and the games we played in, the memories that people have. And I like what he said. So he said, I have a vested interest in this place. And I think even when Tom Coughlin was the head coach of the New York Giants, that was his primary focus. And, you know, that was a dream job for him growing up in the Northeast. I mean, that's one of the crown jewel jobs in the NFL. There was a piece of him that never stopped caring about the Jacksonville Jaguars and the city of Jacksonville. Still does a lot of foundation work, charity work here with the J Fund. And so to see it all kind of come together and see his family, and he has a couple kids who already always have lived here, that was fun for me. I enjoyed that. I had a smile on my face listening to him again in this stadium talking football and talking about what needs to be done to try to bring back, you know, get us to where the ultimate goal is to win a championship, win a Super Bowl. And so that was cool. I think it was great. And I do agree with you, all joking aside, to welcome back one of the guys that helped build this place, was the architect, was the driving force behind it. A guy whose name's going to be in the stadium one day as well. I think he'll be a Hall of Famer one day. And to have him come back, even though Jeff doesn't think it's the back half of his career, but to have him back as he goes into the next stage of his career off the football field.
There you go. That's a better way to say it.
And into the front office. It was cool for me, at least. I know that.
You didn't wear your bolo tie today, Jeff.
I wish you would have.
I did not have a tie on at all today.
Tony, have you ever worn a bolo tie?
No. I wouldn't even know
what to buy. See, I arrived at the press conference at 9:55.
I was here at 9:50.
So you were 10 minutes late.
No, they started at like 9:53.
There you go.
You're late.
I mean, my
you
watch.
Should have known better.
My watch was set to Coughlin time, and it started before that.
You're late. I was here.
That's a fine.
I was here at 9:50. I know this thing's starting early.
I got there right when team president Mark Lamping was talking, so I timed it up pretty good.
But it was cool.
And he was the very first one to speak. So I got there right when I needed to.
One final timeout. One more segment on the network for the 2016 season. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
I did, to be honest with you. And, you know, quite frankly, resented a lot of what happened at the end. But nevertheless, this opportunity... I don't know. It goes full circle for me now, and I do appreciate it very much. And I do. It's very consistent, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't think I've ever gotten a job where I knew the people that hired me. So, but I'm excited about this, and it's a great challenge. And one of the things that I just mentioned that really is important for me is Judy's excited.
Right.
She hasn't been excited for the last couple of years, to be honest with you.
Right.
She is excited, and that's a nice thing to see.
Tom Coughlin in the postgame on Jaguars.com today after the press conference. Final moments of Jaguars Thursday for the network for the year.
For those that don't know, we're talking about Judy's wife, you know, who they have a house here. So
who's a saint, by the way.
She's a wonderful lady. And so, I mean, it's a great for her because, you know, I mean, heck, look, I don't know what it's like to live in New York in the wintertime at my age. And I don't want to find out. So Jacksonville is where I want to be, and I'm glad for Judy because and I remember saying this a couple weeks ago. I said, if Judy has any influence whatsoever, he's going to take a job in Jacksonville. But I didn't know what that job would be, you know. But and it's great because they've got family down here. I would not be surprised if other family that's in New York, New Jersey area, moved to Jacksonville.
Hmm. Yeah, they're split up a little bit now, so –
funny, though, that
spend more time down here. Yep.
In the early part of that interview, he talks about the departure from here.
Yeah, that's right. I asked him, could you imagine ever being back here in any capacity, much less the top dog?
But you could tell, you know, I mean, Tom Coughlin, it still bothers him to this day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The circumstances and how he was fired going back to 2002, 2003.
And I'm sure it's... still bothers him the way the Giants thing ended, too, right?
Not like this one.
This is a little different, huh?
Not like this one.
Well, now it might bother him more because he's back here. So he might feel better.
That's true, yeah.
Who knows?
Heals the wounds.
It's just good to have him back. I think it's good for the organization. Good. I think obviously the fans are excited, and that's nice. But Tom will be the first one to tell you, that's all fine and dandy. But as he said in the press conference, you know, I want to win. And ultimately, that's what this franchise needs to do.
His greatest line was about winning lunch.
How do you win lunch?
I win lunch most days, in fact.
Well, we can tell. But I wanted to raise my hand. Who was going to be the judge of who won lunch?
I don't know, but that was a great line.
I want to
win
that.
Lunch. That's classic.
So that'll do it for the network version of Jaguars Thursday for the season. Thank you for listening throughout. If you're in Jacksonville, our flagship station, 1010XL, another hour coming with phone calls. Baselli, your favorite, at 904-355-NFL1. Throw a 1-800 in front of that if you're outside of the area. Also on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars app coming up the second hour. For Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, Max Hochman,
Hollywood,
I'm J.P. Shadrick. Thank you for listening to Jaguars Thursday on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday. Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Jaguars Thursday continues on Jaguars.com, the Jaguars app, and 1010XL. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, glad you're with us. Phone calls coming up, 355-NFL1, the number 355-6351. We're breaking down what all happened today at Everbank Field. Tom Coughlin is back, the football czar, if you will. Dave Caldwell gets a two-year extension as GM, and Doug Marrone is the head coach. The brain trust has changed a bit on the football side. Well, has changed a lot on the football side, I should say, guys.
It's changed, and we were talking about before, it has changed a lot, and then there's more change coming. You know, and that change will be determined after Tom Coughlin is able to digest all the information that he can get, and then the train rolls on.
That's right.
And the alignment of the box cars will all be a little bit different.
Coaching staff is the next process, right? They're going through that, I'm sure, right now. They're lighting up the phones and interviewing and doing whatever they're doing to figure out the best staff around Doug Marrone right now.
That's you don't want to waste any time.
No.
Well, and there's, you know, Sean McVay just got the job in Los Angeles,
San Diego with the Rams,
The Los Angeles Chargers, which will be hard to say.
That is weird.
Will be named head coach, I think, and reports are in the next 24, 48 hours.
Anthony Lynn is doing another interview there.
He is the favorite, I think. That's a crazy
couple of days for that organization.
The 49ers will probably wrap it up next week sometime. And so you have right now, you have the Jaguars trying to put a staff together. You have Vance Joseph in Denver trying to put a staff together. You have Sean McVay. Is it McVay or McVee?
Yeah.
One of those guys.
It is one of the two.
Yeah, one of the two. I don't know. Trying to put a staff together. Anthony Lynn will be putting a staff together.
And also you got the other openings, you know, on staffs.
Well, and then, the Browns have fired everybody.
Well, Jay Gruden's trying to find a defensive coordinator. Jay Gruden fired. Gus Bradley reportedly went up there for an interview, you know.
So there's a lot of different – so you're – and then on top of all that, you want to get the best possible quality, but sometimes you can't get permission to interview a guy. We talked about that last week. Teams can block you from interviewing a guy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not always – you can't just say, I want this guy, this guy, this guy. Well, that's why in most interviews, a head coach or a potential head coach will go in and will have a list of his top three at each position, especially the coordinators. So, because you don't know if you're going to get your guys, you kind of lay that out how it's going to work. And right now, I'm sure that Doug Marrone is, as him and Tom work together and kind of put this list together of who, you know, ultimately it'll be Doug's kind of making the decision of who's he's comfortable with, and Tom will make input and everything else. And then Doug will start making phone calls.
Well, I think the best part of the assembling of the staff is that, you know, Doug Marrone has a great resource in Tom Coughlin. To say, hey, you know, because, you know, look, most coaches go with what they're familiar with, people they know, people they trust. But there are other people that are very trustworthy and very good that you may not know about. And so since Tom Coughlin has been in the league for as long as he has, he's had a lot of great experiences with people that maybe Doug Marrone doesn't know and has no idea of as far as their attributes.
And maybe both ways. Hey, I this recommend this guy and maybe not recommend this type of guy.
Sure. And so when you have, you know, you talk about consensus decisions, you know, that's going to be, I think, with Doug hiring a staff. I think Doug would be crazy not to utilize Tom Coughlin as a resource. I'm not saying that he, you know, because, look, they're going to probably allow Doug Marrone to select
build his staff. Right.
You know, because Tom Coughlin's been there before. You know, when you're a head coach, you want to work with people you're comfortable with. But to be able to have the added, you know, voice of information and a resource in Tom Coughlin, that's very valuable for a guy like Doug Marrone. You know, so, and I'm sure that he's utilizing it to the full extent.
No doubt about it. It'll be an interesting couple of weeks to figure out what happens on the Jaguars coaching staff. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1.
We're going right to it.
You want to get to it tonight?
Sure.
Tony, I know you're ready for this. This is your favorite. Each and every radio program that we do together is the phone calls.
Let me get the headsets on. Wow, I can hear myself now. It's amazing.
That's funny how that works. Let's start out tonight in Riverside with Mary. Good evening, Mary. How are you?
Good evening. I am wonderful, thanks. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, I don't have anything too exciting to say except that I'm very happy that Coach Coughlin, although I guess I shouldn't be calling him Coach Coughlin anymore.
Oh, you can. It's okay.
I think everybody will call him Coach.
I'm so happy he's back, and I still have a football that I guess I won from him. Like, if you sent in questions, I don't know if you remember that, and he answered it or liked your question, you would win an autographed football, and I still have it.
Do you remember what the question was?
No, I wish I remembered. I don't know. Must have been okay, though.
Apparently so, yeah.
Oh,
thank you, Mary.
I'm just thrilled he's back. And
yeah, it's exciting.
Thanks for keeping me company at work.
Where are you working?
I work downtown in Riverside in a very tall building, and I'm doing performance reviews tonight.
Oh.
Well, hopefully we can help you get through those performance reviews.
That's right. Everybody is going to have glowing reviews.
I have a feeling that you and
Tom
Coughlin are doing something very similar right now.
That's right, yeah.
Mary, you're doing performance review, and Tom Coughlin is looking and reviewing some performances around here.
We're just connected. That's what it is, definitely.
We appreciate
you know, you're right.
That's fantastic. Hey, thanks for the call tonight, Mary. Good luck with those reviews.
Thank you very much. Mary, okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, have a good night. Mary in Riverside.
It's a good story.
That's pretty cool, man. I mean,
the ink might be a little bit faded on the autograph.
Maybe.
Oh, guaranteed.
And there's a lot of those stories out there that are going to come out now with Tom Coughlin back in and the memories of the former Jaguars head coach now.
You know what we
VP.
Hope, though, for JP?
Yes.
Let's create new memories.
I agree with that.
And so what would be best for everybody is that a couple years from now, 5 years from now, however long we're talking about, man, that 2017 season. You remember that? Oh, man, that team, 18. I mean, that's what you need to start doing, because if you think about it, everything's back to that original 5 years,
yeah,
6 years.
Right. I mean, occasionally outside, you'll get an 07 talk or something,
that's it.
But that's it.
That's it. And
I mean, and Tony, I love you, but I'm tired of talking to you about it.
I love me, too. And I love those teams we were on. And it was great, Jeff. We had a great time. But I would like to start, I mean, number one, I hope I live a long time, and I hope we're all part of this organization. You know, and Jeff and I are doing this, you know, in about 35 years when we're sitting there talking. And I hope we're talking. We better not be still talking about, man, 96.
No.
You need to be start. And so, and that's Tom coming back. The memories are great. And right now, fine. Let's talk about memories. I want to talk about how we're moving forward and what we're going to do and what he's going to do and Doug's going to do and this team's going to do and Dave Caldwell and all the staff. So we start creating new memories and better memories. Because a better memory than those initial teams, as much fun as that was, is getting a Super Bowl. And having the Lombardi Trophy here at Everbank Field.
It would look nice in the lobby out there, the Lombardi.
It'd look really good. It'd look multiple ones.
Yeah,
would
a handful.
Really good.
Yeah,
there's a big enough cabinet for multiple.
I agree. That would be nice. Let's
and,
go
and
back.
If you run out of room, we can build more cabinets.
I think we've got enough space or we'll make space. How about that?
I would even volunteer to help do it.
Papa Louie is on the line in Neptune Beach. Papa Louie, good evening.
Hey.
You're on the air. What's
hey.
Up?
Well, I'm in Neptune Beach, and
we already
I'm just
said
listening
that.
To you guys. And let me tell you something. Tommy coming back, that's a big thing. I grew up in a place called Park Ridge, New Jersey, and I used to play in the woods where the bear's nest was, and that's where Tom and Tricky Dick Nixon lived, and
you're telling me you, Tom Coughlin, and Richard Nixon all hung out at the bear caves?
Old neighbors? Wow.
Yeah, in the bear's nest.
The bear's nest.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Parkers, New Jersey. Tony, I'm in the Hall of Fame in my high school in Park Ridge.
Papa Louie, that's exciting. Congratulations.
I know you're excited.
Hey, let's talk about Jaguars.
What I'm excited about, I'm glad that he's back. But when he left, I actually was glad that he left. I wasn't a big fan of the offense coordinator at the time. Who was who?
I'm trying to remember the last. Was it Chris Palmer?
He took him up to New York.
He took the job in San Diego as a head coach.
It was Gilbride Palmer. Tom was offensive coordinator. Bobby Petrino. And who was after Petrino? I don't remember.
No, he took him up to New York, and they won two Super Bowls together.
No, he didn't. That was Kevin Gilbride. No, Gilbride was earlier.
Kevin wasn't
there. Probably earlier.
I was ready for them all to leave back in 2004, but you know what? He's back, and I really believe that this coaching staff and the what's going to happen is going to be positive. Now, he was a great draft. He's going to get these draft picks. He's going to build these lines. His teams were so big. When the Giants came down here and played us, they were so much bigger than our team. They were just men. And I'm waiting for that to happen. He brought you in. He brought men in.
Okay, hold on now. Papa Louie, just stop for a second. You just – that's not going to help the credibility of Tom Coughlin when you say he brought Jeff Loggeman in. I mean, that's not – we're trying to be positive here right now, Papa.
Wow.
I'm joking, Papa. Hey, Papa, hey, congratulations.
He's in Virginia.
I'm joking. He's a Hall of Famer in Virginia, just like you are up in New Jersey at the Bears Nest. And look forward to talking to you, Papa Louie, in the weeks to come. Thank you for calling.
Let's get one more call in before the break. Let's go to the United Kingdom and say good evening to Chris, who is on the line. Chris, you're on the air. What's up?
It's late there, Chris.
Hey guys. How are you?
Good. Great. Thanks for staying up.
Yeah, thank you for the great show and everything. It's just a question for Tony and his Hall of Fame stuff. Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, boy.
Thank you very much.
Here we go.
Well, it's kind of an important question.
It is.
If, say, for instance, you get in, and obviously you got loads of people who are pulling for you, hoping you get in and stuff, who's going to induct you? Is it going to be Pete? Is it going to be your wife, your kid?
It won't be Pete.
Have you thought about
it? Won't be Pete. Come on. We spend 2 hours every Monday together.
It will not be
you
Pete.
You love each other.
Chris, that is
Would they have to – let me ask you this, okay, because there's a podium.
Yeah.
Okay. Would they have to slide – the box.
Yeah, they'd have to get like a stepladder for Pete to see over the podium.
Get the shine box out there.
Pete would be in my speech. I know that. That is a great question, Chris. And you're not going to believe this. I have not even thought about that.
You don't want to jinx yourself.
I don't want to go there until now. If I get in, it'll be like February 3rd because 4th is the Super Bowl. It's the day before the Super Bowl. I will have 7 months. To figure it out. And so I'll be thinking long and hard. And I guess, I mean, I have no idea. It wouldn't be my wife. I mean, she's not going to do it. She wouldn't want to do it. I have two boys, so I guess.
We'll pick sides there. Right?
But then my girls will be mad because they'd want to do it. I don't know. Maybe I'll have JP do it.
Sweet. Awesome.
What about TC?
Coach Coughlin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be a consideration. Depends how nice he is to me over the next month.
He's got to prove himself.
I mean, he's got to earn it. Come on. We're not going to give him anything. We'll see if he wants to win that. He won lunch. He's going to win football games. He's going to have to try to win that. I don't know, Chris, in all honesty. All joking aside.
Great question, though.
It is a good question, but I'm not going to go there until I get in. But if I get in the week after the Super Bowl, I'll be sitting right in this chair. You can call back, and we'll have that conversation then.
Okay, then, cool. That's a deal.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for the call.
All right, thank you very much.
From the United Kingdom, late over
there.
That
was a good question. I don't know. Yeah. I really have no idea. No clue.
Let's come back and take some more phone calls. Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, the number. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. More of your calls coming up. 355-NFL1, the number. We'll take some more of those in just a few minutes. You know, there's a part of the press conference today, guys, where Doug Marrone was sending a subliminal message, he said, to the players be watching. How many guys do you think watched or heard or paid attention to the happenings today?
I think paid attention and maybe read the clips. The majority, so over 50%, actually were sitting watching the press conference, 10 to 15%. So that'd be 5 to 8 people.
Yeah, maybe more.
That's my guess. You know, I have no idea.
It's so different now in today's day and age, you know, with the internet,
he's following
social
on Twitter.
Media,
he's following
and,
Twitter
and everything else, right. You know. I mean,
all the quotes and all that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, 80-90% of the ones that are under contract
got some information about it.
Yeah, we're following it in some capacity. And I guess Kelvin Beachum was tweeting quite a bit.
Yeah, he was. That's right.
And
there was this thing after the season was the winning and all that. Got to get back to that, talking about it. And then, of course, the Coughlin winning lunch thing happened. And
well, look, hey, if you're a player, I mean, you want to know where this organization is going. And if you care about this team and you care about the direction, you're going to watch and you're going to pay very close attention. And so, and I like Doug's quote because of, you know, the lack of communication that happens this time of year between the coaching staff and the players because of the CBA rules. And so I thought it was good of Doug to say, you know, they better be working hard.
Jeff, don't you get as a new staff an extra week or so? You get some extra time. You know, I don't know if it's on the front end or the back end.
You don't get any extra OTA time. You get, an additional mini camp.
Yeah, it's early. Like it's
yeah, it's on the
April
front end. You get
more
time.
You might get a little
right.
additional OTA camp. You just get a little bit extra time. But it's nothing crazy. You know.
Oh, you're not putting pads on or anything. No, there's none of that.
It's the off season, JP. Sure. No kidding. We're not putting pads on. I mean, honestly, you've been doing so good as of late with nice, smart, intelligent, informed comments.
You know what? I'm not going to present you at the Hall of Fame.
And then
you
know
say, what? You're done. You're cut off.
And then you make
you're
the comment.
I'm out. I'm not doing it.
But they won't be in pads in OTAs.
Oh, really?
Shocking.
Just saying. They're adding a little something. I was adding to the point that it won't be in pads. Just a little something. Whatever.
I thought, you know, the other thing.
What's wrong with that?
Have they ever been in pads in OTAs, JP?
Not that I've been around here, no.
The answer is no.
Okay, good.
Were we ever in...
No, you can't wear pads.
No, not pads. Didn't we wear those little...
Yeah, those little half... protect our shoulders. The spiders.
Spiders. Yeah, am I back now? I knew what that was.
Which were good for absolutely nothing.
No.
I don't know even why it's even a part of...
This made everyone feel better. This made everyone feel better about themselves.
Yeah, but the question I think that a lot of people were looking forward to being asked at the press conference was four comments on the quarterback. And they made no bones about it. Blake Bortles is the quarterback. And
wait,
you know,
a second.
No, they did.
No, they didn't lie.
I was
he
there.
He is the quarterback.
But here's my
that's
point.
All they said. Though.
My point is that
what
they,
else are
they stopped
say?
It at that, but they don't have any other thing to say but that.
Right.
No matter if you have a belief that Blake Bortles is not going to be the guy, you have to say Blake Bortles is our quarterback.
Well, I guarantee that was discussed before the press conference. Here's the message about Blake. And I'm not saying it's good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, none of us know what the private conversations between Tom, Dave, and Doug are. But that's the only answer you can give after the year he had. I mean, and where you are as a franchise. I mean, I've already said I would bring him back and bring competition. I mean, who knows what they'll do. But that's the only answer. There's no other answer to give but to say he's our quarterback right now. And if you noticed, it was very abrupt and very to the point when Tom answered that question. He was giving no more information. And then he followed up another question, whether one or two questions later. We're not going to talk about personnel, and we probably never will publicly. I mean, it's like,
right. Yeah,
different feel. Like, get used to it, boy. There's no more
different.
Information.
Yeah, because that's different.
It's a lot different. Let's go back to the phone lines and go down to the University of Central Florida. Our friend Dalton is on the line this evening. What's up?
What's going on, guys?
Oh, you know, nothing much. You?
It's kind of funny. Last offseason, I really wanted one out of three of these guys, Joey Bosa, Jalen Ramsey, or Miles Jack. And we somehow pulled in two or three of those guys. And then this offseason, I really wanted one of three guys, Tom Coughlin, Doug Marrone, or Mike Smith. And somehow we were able to pull in two of those three guys. So I just think this these hires
okay,
are
okay, whoa, stop right there just for a minute, okay?
What's going on?
Since what you have desired has happened, okay?
Who do you want in the draft?
No. Can you desire 10 wins and a playoff berth in the next couple years?
How about this year?
I'm gonna do a spiritual dance tonight, and it's gonna happen, man. Like, I'm just gonna do some, you know, these different dance moves, and hopefully it'll come.
Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Just don't send any pictures.
But the thing why I feel like Tom Coughlin's such a great hire is because, you know, everyone's freaking out about how, you know, oh, he's gonna also minimize Dave Caldwell's job, or he's gonna minimize Doug Marrone's job. But what he kind of does is, like, you know, kind of what – I mean, go off what Jeff said earlier about how, you know, he's going to respect these guys' positions. He just adds so much more of a dual control to this team where, you know, if anything kind of seems out of line, he's going to be able to, you know, kind of put his, you know, Super Bowl Hall of Fame, you know, opinion to it. And he'll just, you know, just be great for the coaches and GM, and it's going to be great for the players in turn. So – And also, one reason why I really like Doug Marrone is because not only was this guy endorsed by Tom Coughlin, but he was also endorsed by Bill Belichick. Like, I can't think of two better football heads that can recommend a head coach than that. And I guess just to kind of end off with a question, since it's looking like Todd Wash is going to come back as a defensive coordinator.
Well, we don't know that.
Say he does, because I know in the press conference, you know, Marrone didn't, you know, confirm that. But if he does come back, what do you think, like, how do you think the best step is to approach this whole player outburst of how they're feeling caged? And, you know, do you think it's going to have to come with a scheme change or more of toughen up, do your job kind of thing?
You deal with the comments.
It'll be dealt with.
And it will be.
And I don't think it's as big as – I think it actually, by the time you get back to OTAs, it'll be
– water under the bridge,
Not necessarily water under the bridge, but there'll be so many other issues and things and changes and everything else. And by then, I think the message will be for everybody, including the players, it's like, just come back and do your job. And I don't think you have to have a major conversation.
Not going to be a major confrontation or anything, but it's not going to be just, you know, thrown by the wayside.
Yeah.
You know, you need to talk about it and address it, and you move on. And it's pretty simple, you know. So, you know, the interesting thing that I think going forward is going to be the makeup of the staff. You know, who the coordinators
will be, what
the roles will be. You know, Todd Walsh has a contract that he's getting paid at the level of as a defensive coordinator. Nathaniel Hackett has a contract that pays him at a positional coach's level. What will their roles be going forward? We don't know that. You know, so it's going to be fun to watch the staff get put together and what the roles may be. And one thing I think that is for certain is that the number of staff will be much less than what it has been under the Gus Bradley era. Which, you know, it was, I think, 26, 27 ballparkish. And my expectation is that it would not be any more than 15. Tops.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, look at Tom Coughlin's staff. He's never had, you know, a high number of staff.
Yeah, New England's
Bill
the
Belichick
same way.
Bill Belichick has a very limited number of staff.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't expect the staff numbers to be very high. In fact, it may be as low as 12.
Mm. It'd be higher than that.
Still a young team, though.
I expect that's 15.
You still have to have some hands on.
And when I say 15, I'm not talking about 15 where you've got, you know, an assistant head coach and a run game coordinator and a passing game coordinator, and then, you know, two you know, linebacker coaches. I think you're going to have all your core positional coaches, and you'll have some what I call periphery coaches, you know, that might be quality control and such on both sides of the ball, and then, you know, special teams assistant. So
my guess is
it'll be reduced.
Some of the bigger position groups will probably have assistants.
I can see that.
DBs, offensive line, typically.
Yeah, probably so.
Be my guess. I have no idea.
Our thanks to Chad Kuhn on Twitter. The off-season schedule, April 3rd. Clubs that hired a new head coach after the end of the season may begin off-season workout programs. Clubs with returning head coaches can start their programs April 17th.
2 weeks early.
So 2 week early.
Yeah, that's not on-the-field stuff. That's just
weight room classroom.
Yep, exactly.
All that starts earlier. So there you have it. Let's come back and take some more phone calls. 355-NFL1, the number. Check out Jack Hananiga's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Get the latest transportation news and information with the award-winning Making Moves. Watch the first Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli, and we go back to the phone lines and say good evening to Ashley on a cell phone. What's up? Ashley, you're on the air. Ashley, you're not on the air.
We got to put her back on hold.
Yeah, we'll put her back on hold. We'll get back.
Rick, call in Radio 101. Don't listen on the radio for the guys to say hi.
She was a little confused.
That's all right. Sometimes
all right. We'll kids, no,
there,
it's okay.
There is a delay.
It happens. It's time. It takes time to figure out how to do it.
It happens.
Let's try her again. A long time.
Let's try her one more time.
Ashley, you're on the air. Good evening.
Hi.
There she is.
Hey, you got it. What's up?
Hello?
Yes, yeah, you're on the air. What's up, here. Ashley?
Hi, I have a question for Tony.
Go for it.
What are you doing calling here? I mean, come on. Are you kidding me?
Who might this be?
This is my oldest daughter. I mean, first of all.
Wait a minute. Let me say
didn't
something.
Didn't I train you better how to answer the phone?
Thank you.
Radio? I mean, come on. That's embarrassing.
I was calling because I heard that you didn't know who you're going to have induct you into the Hall of Fame.
Well, who do you think it should be?
I really think it should be your favorite, Ashley. I mean, come on.
I was going to say, if it's my favorite, I mean, is Ansley old enough to do it?
Ansley's hearing you saying that, and she's, like, freaking out because you said that. But I'm the real favorite here.
Do you have a speech ready in mind already?
Or
what?
Please, no.
So I just heard him say that on the radio, so I decided to call in and tell him that I'm really his favorite.
It's a great – I like this idea. This is quite a development we have here.
Pressure all right. from the kids.
Hang up.
All right, I love you.
Love you too.
There she is. Wow.
What pressure. A nice call.
Pressure. Yes.
We're going to hear from a Baselli child every week.
No, we're not.
On this program moving forward.
As soon as I heard Ashley, I'm like, I know who this is. And I heard her voice.
Angie, make it happen.
No,
A different child calls in.
Angie had nothing to do with that. Ashley.
Well, we'll make some.
I promise you, she did that on her own. She's very, she is very smart. And when she wants to do something, she's going to do it. So independent, aggressive. I don't know what
I
the word is.
I wonder where she gets all that.
I don't know. She comes by it honestly, though. Thankfully, she has her mother's looks.
That's fantastic.
Wow, you started something now.
Bro. Oh, I mean, Joe, did you know that was my daughter?
I wish you would have told me because we would have got to her soon.
Right,
she's
made
for
her hold
time.
For 20 minutes. My bad.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, wow. Sorry about that, Ashley.
Ashley, next time, tell me who you are. We'll get you on right away.
And by the way, learn how to answer the phone when you're on radio. Don't sit there and listen to it.
That's classic.
You're gonna have some fun with
this. As soon as I heard her voice, I'm like, I know who this is. I was a little bit curious when I heard Ashley. I'm like, this might be one of mine. Mm. One of the five. So now we've started some politicking. There'll be the way I'll fix that. I'll just pick the 7-year-old, the youngest, because it's easy. But she'll be the only one not to ask. So I'll just pick the one who doesn't ask.
Oh well, Ashley's done then. Oh, she's the first one out, eliminated.
Yeah, it's like Survivor.
You're voted off the island.
Voted off. No, I can't. That's why none of them are going to do it. Just all of you listening right now, none of you are doing it.
Let's first things first. Let's get you in.
That's
there.
My point. Ashley, you can't talk about things that haven't happened.
Yeah, well, she just did. I appreciate
that. No, wait, when you went into the college football, they don't do that.
No, they introduce. They have a program where, like, they have a master of ceremonies, do a video, and introduce everybody. one at a time.
And you just like wave to the crowd. There's no speech or anything? Or is
you have a press conference. You do. Everyone does like a 3 or 4 minute speech before. And then the night of, we picked one guy to do it for the entire class. And we picked, or I don't know if we didn't really pick, or maybe the hall picks. It was Wesley Walls.
That's right. Ole Miss.
Yeah, Ole Miss. He was great, too.
He's really? Got, he, and I know Wesley. Wesley and I were the same year.
Yeah, he's great.
He is
funny,
a great guy.
Good
funny,
communicator.
And he's got
Southern draw.
Southern draw to no end.
It's great. It was perfect. He did a very good job.
Very successful tight end.
Yeah, good
played
player.
For the Carolina Panthers for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, he was a defensive end
at Ole Miss.
At Ole Miss first. Mm-hmm. And then he got moved to tight end as, I think maybe he's in last year, year and a half maybe. And he was a good defensive end, had a bunch of sacks, and good
he's
player.
And a super guy.
Yeah.
Well, Robinson was there, right? Your former coach. Wasn't he up there for that?
He came to it. He's already in the Hall of Fame.
That's right, yeah. He was there. He's already in it. But there's no speech by him. There's none of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Nope. Because they give they did the inductees of the College Hall of Fame. But then they have a bunch of scholar athlete awards, and they have different things. So it's the whole foundation that honors
National Football Foundation.
Different aspects of the game of football. So. It's cool. Peyton Manning and Steve Spurrier, two local SEC.
That's a great class this year, by the way, if you haven't seen the whole list.
Who else is – I just know those two.
That's fantastic.
Not that anyone cares. But
But it's star-studded.
So maybe we can talk about that after the show.
Yeah.
Okay. How about we come back and get into picks, speaking about something that Tony knows a little more about.
Someone dominated again.
We'll discuss news around the National Football League as well. There's a lot of news around the National Football League, especially in the City of Angels. And we'll pick the playoff games this week. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Final segment of Jaguars Thursday. We look around the National Football League. We'll also pick some games coming up.
Let's look at the standings first.
Well, let's get to that. We'll get to that later. It's coming later. Let's talk about all the news around the NFL, though. Involving the city of Los Angeles, the Chargers are headed north. They spent 1 year in L.A., their first year, then moved to San Diego. 55 years, they are now going to L.A., and they will share the stadium in a couple of years with the L.A. Rams.
Well, I don't understand how it's going to work from the standpoint. For 2 years, they're going to play in StubHub Stadium that holds 27,000 people.
Which is the home of...
30. They say it can get 30.
The home of the soccer team.
But how do you make the revenue if you're an owner on ticket sales?
Yeah, you can't.
So how does that work?
Unless they're really expensive.
That's going to cost, and if you're a visiting club on the 60-40 split, you're going to get tickets.
You're not getting a lot of money.
No.
Yeah, the one thing I think that is interesting in all of this, and that, you know, now San Diego becomes the new L.A. And people say, what do you mean? Every team in the National Football League loves to have an open market. To leave or to go to. And now that is the largest market in the country now that will not have an NFL team. So San Diego is now the new Los Angeles going into the future. Mm-hmm. For teams in the National Football League,
but not as big a draw, or not as much leverage as L.A. Because
no,
L.A.
but,
is the
but
number
it's a
two.
Really good market.
Yeah, but I think it's a mistake.
Huge mistake.
I don't.
But they've been trying for 15-20 years to get a stadium.
I know that, but and maybe there was no way to do it. And if it's not, sell the team, make $1.5 billion, and someone else can do it. I've said this over and over. I lived there when there was two teams there, and unless you're winning at a high level, nobody goes. You know the real interesting thing? It won't happen next year.
And San Diego's always had pretty good support.
Yes. And now their fan base isn't up in L.A. So they're going to be competing with the Rams, which, by the way, by the end of the year, nobody was in the stadium.
It's like competing with the Rams and everything else in L.A.
But you know that? By the end of the year, that stadium was not full.
Yeah.
Year one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1 year. I mean, this is supposed to be a honeymoon. Mm-hmm. That coupled with the fact, what happens, let's say the Chargers are bad and they can't sell out 30,000 seats.
Mm. Oh, boy. Mm.
Talk about embarrassing.
They might not.
It's not good. Where's the next stop after that? Or they're stuck in L.A.
There is no next stop.
That's no.
It. You know, I mean, when, I mean, because I'm sure that once you commit to L.A., I mean, you got to go. You know, and it's a shame. You know, I wonder.
And I wonder what the relocation fees are, Jeff.
Well, and I wonder if, out of curiosity that, okay, because, you know, the big reason they're leaving San Diego is because of the lack of a stadium financing, public financing, you know, public money into that stadium. And I just wonder that if the Spanos family in San Diego, and I ask this because I don't know the answer to it, if the Spanos family took their own money, and then money that they get from the NFL because there is money that they can get through the league, they took their own money, and they did it themselves. What would that do to the value of the franchise? You know,
would they get it back?
Right.
Right. Plus some. Maybe.
Or maybe not.
Maybe
I
not.
I don't
maybe
know.
They figured
I don't
they
know the economics of that.
And I don't know the answer to that, and I also understand that there are certain people in the San Diego voters voted, you know, the way they wanted to and said that we're not using public money to pay for an NFL owner stadium. I understand that.
Well, here's my question. Does anyone know what the relocation fees to L.A. are? They're paying something.
Don't know.
No, I don't know. A lot.
We'll find out, because why don't you just take all that money you're paying relocation fees and build a new stadium?
Yeah, and I don't know if they have to pay a relocation fee, the Chargers. I know.
You don't think?
The Rams had to pay.
Why wouldn't the Chargers?
Don't know. Because I don't know. I don't know the answer to
that. I don't either. I'm curious. So,
$650 million relocation fee.
Okay.
To who?
To the NFL, to the rest of the owners.
Do the Chargers have to pay that?
League owners, this is from Sam Farmer of the Los Angeles Times a little while back, December 14th, 2016, at owners' meetings. NFL's made it easier to pay the $650 million fee. Approved a waiver of the debt ceiling, allowing the Chargers to borrow a portion of that fee from a bank and pay it over a longer period, over 30 years or so, as opposed to the original agreement of $65 million annually over 10 years.
Okay, so let's say they have to spend $650 million to move.
Let me ask
just
you
take that $650. I promise you,
because that's the amount of money they're trying to get from.
So what if they
public
went to,
money?
If they went to the people of San Diego and said, "We'll put up $650." The NFL is going to put up 200. That's 850. Can you guys put up 300? I guarantee you get that passed.
Kind of odd.
That makes no sense to me.
Mm. Now I got to go through all the video of people burning jerseys and the frustration of former players and all that.
I worry about the fan support in LA. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
Well, and like the Raiders, you know, are talking about going to
Vegas.
And you know what? The Raiders fan base. It's not like San Diego. When San Diego leaves the San Diego market, those fans aren't going to L.A.
No, Raiders have fans like everywhere.
They're all
everywhere.
Over the place.
One of the best traveling fan bases that there is.
It's like a cult following.
The Raider Nation will not change if they're in Oakland or if they're in Las Vegas or if they're in L.A. You know, they're not a regional team. They are a team that is just it's very unique. How that team is.
Coaching hiring. The Rams have a new coach.
Did we get his name officially? Is it Sean McVay or McVay?
Sure. It's one of those two.
Well, look, it's on your thing.
He's 30 years old.
McVay, V-A-Y.
He was the offensive coordinator for the Washington Redskins, although he didn't call plays because Jay Gruden did.
I think, Jeff, I was told this year he did.
He did?
This year.
That's still incredibly young.
You think?
The interesting thing is what happens with Les Snead, the general manager with the Los Angeles Rams, who has had, in my opinion, has had a very long time to find success with his roster building and has not found it. And you know what? He's had, with the trade that they orchestrated with the Washington Redskins when they did for RG3, they gave away that right and then took the draft picks in exchange. They had a lot of picks. I mean, they had a lot of picks to be able to hit on some draft picks, but have had very little success. And so would not be surprised if he is eventually shown the door at some point here in this process with the Rams.
Sean McDermott named the Buffalo Bills.
So, by the way, coach. Tony, I don't know if you remember, Les Snead was
he worked here.
Yeah,
he went to Atlanta.
With the Jaguars starting all the way back in 1995 and worked under Ron Hill,
yeah, I remember
as a college scouting director, who Ron Hill was. And I remember Les Snead
was the one who picked me up from the airport in the car, if I remember correctly. It was either him or Matt McCooley. Remember Matt?
I think Cub picked me up.
And I think it was Les that picked me up. But I just remember he was asking me a lot of questions, and I was going, this is one of those sessions to where he's gathering information. You know, he was kind of trying to be like friendly conversation, but you could tell some of the questions were investigative.
Staged.
Investigative.
A long time ago. He was a young guy then.
I saw an interesting thing about Sean McVay. So Pete Carroll right now is the oldest coach in the NFL. 65 years old, which you'd never imagine. You'd never guess that at all.
He's a young guy.
Yeah, young at heart. When Sean McVay is 65, it'll be 2052.
Wow.
When Sean McVay is Pete Carroll's age, who is coaching right now, it'll be 2052. Isn't that a trip? That's crazy.
How about that? There you have it. So McDermott, new Bills head coach. Good luck in that situation. Seems a little interesting after what came out the last couple of weeks there, right?
Yeah, with ownership and Doug Whaley, the general manager. A lot of questions with that Buffalo Bills organization. But, you know, there's questions, too, about some other organizations with the opening. Buffalo has questions. San Francisco has questions.
San Diego has big questions.
San Diego has questions. A lot of questions when it comes to, you know, what's going to be the situation as far as where you're going to be playing at. The Rams have questions when it comes to their general manager because the owner has not come out and stated one way or another about what the situation is with Les Snead. And there's a lot of organizations that have question marks. The Washington Redskins organization, they fired your buddy, the defensive coordinator, Joe Barry.
Yep.
And Jay Gruden, I think, is on a one-year – he's got 1 year left on his contract. And so, boy, what a terrible situation to be in when you've got 1 year left on your contract as a head coach and you're trying to hire and entice somebody to come and be your defensive coordinator.
You're a lame duck.
That's not easy to
do.
You know, that's you know, and that goes to the thing where I talk about having good ownership. You know, good ownership doesn't let that happen.
Either add a year or whatever you got to do to make it more palatable, right? Yeah. Vance Joseph, head coach of the Denver Broncos.
That one, he's a Colorado guy, right? Played college football there in Colorado.
See you. Yep.
So, good for him. And you know, I hope he does great, and I'm sure he will do great. I know this. If you watch the Miami Dolphins defense back in 2015, and you watch the Miami Dolphins in 2016, he did a very good job.
You know, they give it the most yards in the history of the franchise.
No. I know that part of it. But if you watch the
I'm just making sure you understand that.
I do.
Like that's an old franchise. They've never given up that many yards. Like,
Let me ask you this. When you watch the film of the Dolphins, because we did in 2015.
And I watched them this year.
And you watched them this
year. Yeah, I watched both
years. It's a big difference.
They were 140th in rushing with that defensive front.
140th?
I mean, they gave up 140 yards. They were 30th. In the league, 140 yards a game.
Yeah, but I was just watching the film of them. Big difference in 15 to 16.
Most ever.
The biggest difference, I would say, is if you watch Ndamukong Suh.
Yes, he did a great job with Ndamukong Suh. He did that.
Andre Branch, 5.5 sacks, by the way.
Brancher.
Miami Dolphins. Woo. Windmills.
The windmill, that's what it was.
He's going to get paid a little bit, too.
Might be. Yes. 49 tackles, 5.5 sacks, 8 tackles for loss, 12 hurries.
Yeah, he's going to get paid a little bit. And I'm joking. I know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. They had a bunch of injuries this year. And Vance Joseph, by all reports, I've never met him. But everyone you talk to and every stop he's been at talks about what a great coach he is.
Let's get to the picks. If you're watching on Jaguars.com, wild card weekend results. Baselli, a perfect 4-0, extending his lead for the season. Shadrick and Lagerman both 3-1, an exact tie for the entire season still. Playoff games count as double, so if Baselli for the year has a .645 win percentage, Jeff, you and I are .581, and we're going to need some help here. So we're going to make this week's games triple.
Triple points.
Triple points this week to try to rally back.
I just need to beat you, JP. That's all I care about.
Okay, good luck. Let's start Saturday. With the Seahawks at the Falcons, 4:35 kick at the Georgia Dome.
Tough game. Tough game.
Atlanta.
Atlanta barely lost in Seattle when they had Earl Thomas. I think that's offense is too much for Seattle. I think it's Atlanta. I like Matt Ryan.
I'm going Seahawks just to go opposite and try to get back in it.
Good. All right.
Seahawks defense on the road. Texans at the Patriots, 8:15 Saturday night.
I'm going to go Patriots. I think you should go opposite again, try to get back into it.
Patriots,
JV.
So you got to go opposite, JV.
I think I will. Fine, I will. You know what? I'm putting all my chips in this week.
Are you really going Texans?
I am. Oh. Houston on the road.
There is no chance.
Okay. Sunday, Steelers
JP,
at
don't
the.
Don't do that. That's dumb. Don't do that. Because
you
really
try to rally.
I know, but that's going to put you so far behind. Next week will be no fun for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't do it.
Don't do that.
Don't go that.
You know
what?
You know.
You're right. You're actually right. I know. I was just being a.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Why would like I Seattle, I think, can be.
Hey, I respect you, JP, for willing to be different, but
that was dumb.
That's pretty damn different.
Yeah. Seattle actually. Seattle can beat Atlanta. I think that can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're a good enough.
That's
team
a fine pick.
The Texans.
Nah.
By the way, who's going to be the quarterback for the Texans?
Osweiler.
Does it matter?
Yeah, no, I don't know if it really matters too much.
It does not, but it is Osweiler.
Sunday, Steelers at the Chiefs.
Great
105.
Great football matchup. Game.
Arrowhead.
That's the game of the week.
I'll take the Chiefs. Why am I going first? Wait a minute, you're just going to copy me now and keep the lead. That's not right.
That's a tough one. I'm taking Pittsburgh.
I am too, Le'Veon Bell. I watched that team against Miami. They had a drive. They started at the 17-yard line, 10 plays. They went 22 and 13 personnel, so two backs, two tight ends, and then one back, three tight ends with Antonio Brown. They handed it off 10 times to Le'Veon Bell and marched it 83 yards.
Wow.
Never got out of big personnel and never threw it once.
And Bell's not like the one that's going to plow on the line. He's going to be very hesitant, find a little crease and go.
Le'Veon Bell is so good.
So good. I like Pittsburgh. But it's going to be a fabulous game.
Great game. Loud environment. Packers.
And weather's going to be kind of mild, too.
Is it? It's not going to be 5 degrees.
No, I don't think so.
A few weeks ago. Game you have on Westwood 1, Tony. The Packers at the Cowboys.
Are you allowed to pick?
By law, no, but I'll break the law for you guys.
Thanks.
It's the dumbest thing ever. Why do people say that? Well, I'm doing the game. I can't
pick. I have
pick.
To be like, on the fence.
Like that's going to be – it's not like we're going to Vegas and I'm going to be rooting for a team. I like no Jordy Nelson. Most likely out with two cracked ribs.
Yeah, it would be insane for him to play.
Right.
Cowboys coming off the bye.
Here's the problem. The Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott rushed for 157 on 28 carries last time. And so if you want to stop Ezekiel Elliott against that offensive line, what do you have to do defensively, Jeff? You have to drop the safety down.
Got to get safety in the box.
Safety in the box. Their corners, Demarius Randall, Ladarius Hunter, or Gunter, excuse me, Gunter, and then the other guy is Quentin Rollins. Those three guys are not good football players this year. They're struggling bad. And what everyone misses in that Giants game, in the first quarter, should have been 14-0. Odell Beckham dropped a huge third down in the red zone and then dropped a touchdown that went right through his hands.
It was the boat.
Before the boat. Before the Packers ever did anything. And they were, and there was other plays, because I watched all 22, where the corners are beat bad. Bad. So they're gonna what they did against New York, because New York can't run the ball. They played more cover two and helped them and did some bracket coverage and four and everything else. Can't do that.
So who are you picking?
Yeah. I'm picking the Cowboys.
JP, who are you taking?
Packers,
Cowboys.
JP, you have a chance to take a huge lead on Jeff.
I'm gonna just dominate.
You
both
either
of
you. Are going
I'm gaining on you, and I'm blowing you out of the water, Logs.
You're either going backwards and you're done. Or you're making a move.
My chips are on the table.
Yeah, I like it.
For the 2016 season. It all comes down to
push
this.
Push them in.
This week. Hey, fun show tonight, guys. A lot going on today. And
only 1 hour next week. I'm disappointed.
Right. Yeah, we'll be on at 6 o'clock from here on out here on 1010XL throughout the entire offseason, each and every Thursday. So, well
exciting.
Done, guys.
Good job, JP.
Tony Boselli.
Looking forward to the weekend of the NFL on television.
Should be fun.
Could
no
be fun.
Doubt. Tony Boselli, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, Max Hockman, our entire crew. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening and watching Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.